Scott Tatey here at 977 The Rock Station. Where are my goth rock fans at? Gothic rock? Or maybe you like the early 80s English music scene, the hip stuff. Not so much the mainstream. I'm talking about, we weren't even calling it alternative rock then. We were calling it maybe college rock, or it's the kind of songs you would hear if you were at a really hip party somehow, or maybe you were at the great vinyl record store, perhaps a place like Ides on Pittsburgh's north side. You would hear this music, somewhat exotic, blasting rock and roll. And, whoa, who is that? I never heard of that. Well, it's a good chance it would have been Gene Loves Jezebel. And great news, the band Gene Loves Jezebel is headed our way for a show April 10th at Jurgle's Rhythm Grill. Now called Jay Aston's Gene Loves Jezebel. And we have on the other end of the line Jay Aston to talk about this rare Pittsburgh area appearance of his band. All right, we are joined on the other end by Jay Aston, Gene Loves Jezebel. Jay, how you doing today?
Very well, thank you.
Thank you for your time. Excited to have Gene Loves Jezebel back in Pittsburgh. You're headed our way for an April 10th show at Jurgle's Rhythm Grill. Your tour starts two nights earlier in Philly. What excites you the most about hitting the road again here in the States?
Oh, it's been a while, Sam. We haven't toured properly for a while, you know. Last time we threw was just Pete Rizzo and I, the bass player. We did a duo thing together. So to be back with the full band with James Stevenson is very exciting, you know, so we can play a nice long set. So, yeah, we're very excited.
What we heard on Gene Loves Jezebel's most recent album, 2023's Love, Death, Sorrow, your singing voice still delivers that compelling, smart, cinematic sound. I saw somebody describe it as effortless cool, and I love that. But the question, what songs are we going to hear you sing? How do you pick a set list for this tour?
Well, it's difficult. We've got a lot of songs. We've got a long list to go through. So, Slim Jim Phantom was supposed to be on the tour, but he's got health issues. So consequently, I think we can actually play an even longer set, hopefully.
Oh, wow.
But it might mean we get a local band in as well. But we'll be playing for a while. You know, we've got so many albums to choose from. And obviously, the last album has got at least half that we'd like to do live or haven't done. And we are, obviously, our repertoire goes way back. So, yeah, it's fun to do so many different songs, you know.
It's great to see you're still paired with guitarist James Stevenson, and this marks the 40th anniversary of you two collaborating. How important is James's guitar style to the distinctive sound of Gene Loves Jezebel?
Oh, it's very, very important, and it's talk about effortless. You know, he's effortless in the way he delivers too. You know, I mean, that's why I think so many people are always asking him to play on their records and stuff. You know, he's not going to let you down, and. He's so solid, you know. It's great to sing against. He leaves you those spaces, and we've got some chemistry going for sure.
Mm-hmm. Thinking back to the descriptions writers would use for Gene Loves Jezebel's style, everything from goth rock to new wave to post-punk to college rock. I know no musician likes to be pigeonholed, but did any of those descriptions come close, or did any of those bother you? What would you feel most comfortable?
No, I mean, a lot of it, obviously, when we first started, there was no such thing as gothic rock, and the first couple of albums just seemed to fit in with those other bands, Bauhaus and Sisters of Mercy and all those kind of bands, and to some extent The Cure and Echo and the Bunnymen. We didn't mind, you know. It's like, you know, I write songs, you know, and hopefully people like them, and I like each song to be different. Hopefully we don't repeat ourselves. I don't mind, you know, if it lets people in. Ultimately, I like melody.
Well, here in the U.S., Desire may have been the biggest hit. And what do you remember most about writing and recording Desire?
It was funny because I was with a twin brother at the time, you know, and I was writing songs. He'd end up doing the lead vocal, which I find frustrating because I'd write songs, and Desire was the song where I just went, oh no, I wrote this, I'm going to sing, I'll do all these vocals and I'll sing this, and it was a real breakthrough for us, yeah.
And what do you see from the stage when you start playing the opening licks to Jealous? I think that's got to be one of those songs where people just instantly light up and they time warp back to the 80s, and there's got to be smiles and dancing. What's the reaction to Jealous?
It was a bit of a departure when we wrote that, actually. We weren't sure about it, but, you know, it's such a strong riff, isn't it? So it was a number one alternative hit as well, wasn't it? So It's great, you know. You kind of, any band will tell you, record a song, and then you get to play it live. You get to groove, and it develops a bit more, you know. Sometimes you cut the fat out of it, and it's leaner and more powerful. So, yeah, it's about all those songs. I mean, Break the Chains, another great favorite of ours to do, you know. Mm. And obviously songs from the new album. We got, you know, The Man That Time Forgot, and a couple of covers, which we've never done before, cover songs. So we thought we would for fun, and it's worked out really well. The album got really good reviews, and it's all very positive, really. There's only a negative, of course, was last year where we couldn't tour because Mike Peters from The Alarm was touring with us, got throat cancer, and lymphatic cancer, I'm not sure. But he couldn't do the tour for sure. So we had to cancel that. And so doing these gigs now has been a long awaited. Unfortunately, it's only 12 or 13 shows on the East Coast, but it's better than just sitting at home. I was in COVID days, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, you mentioned some of the last album, some covers, some interesting ones by The Cure, by Marianne Faithfull. I'm trying to remember, A Girl Like You, I think you did, is that right? Or just...
That's right. Yeah, we did. it was fun to do, especially in our own way, you know. A Girl Like You was the only one we did pretty much close to Edwin Collins' original. But the others, we definitely did it much more in our own way. It was fun to do The Cure one in that way, and also The Only Ones. And, you know, it's good fun to do with John McGeoch. He's always a big hero. I love John McGeoch from The Banshees and Pill and all those bands. Unfortunately, he's not with us anymore. So doing The Light Pours Out of Me was great fun too, that magazine song.
Oh, yeah. Well, the originals sound like they're just seamless with what you guys did, you know, decades ago. You just have a very unique, distinctive, seamless sound. And I'm wondering, is this one of those tours you're just plugging in and playing and let the music do the talking? Or are you going to take any opportunities to tell a story or two, maybe setting up the inspiration behind
them? Well, I spend too long talking sometimes. So I try to not talk too much, but it's very difficult, you know, because there are so many stories. And most lead singers are really comedians, really. So shy comedians, but give them a stage and a microphone and they kind of open up. But yeah, I mean, hopefully the music, we need to get on. We'll try to keep it flowing. But I do like to talk. And there's always things like breaking strings and something going out of tune, you know, where you get a chance to talk anyway. So we'll do a bit of both, but just hopefully get on with the music mostly.
You're going to love the venue here in Pittsburgh. It's a roadhouse. It's you're completely surrounded. There's an upper layer, you know, people on all sides of you and very close to the audience. And
cool. Yeah. Well, as long as I can move, I like to move around a lot.
Yeah.
On stage. So as long as there's room for me to move, that's good.
Do you have any tales from your past visits to Pittsburgh? Anything stand out on any shows you did here? Any visits or?
Oh, gosh. Over the years, it's hard to say. I mean, the last time we played was just Peter and I, the bass player, and we loved doing that. And someone shot a lot of the footage. That was a lot of fun to do. But I can't think of the top. I mean, I keep journals and diaries, but I can't think of any at the top of my head. Was there a club called the Rat something club in Pittsburgh? Is that a club there? Maybe back in the 80s, I think there might have been a club we played.
I think in Metropole would have been the place you played, or Rosebud perhaps.
We played a few places, and I don't know if it was something. I'm sure it was Pittsburgh, but I could be wrong. I'll have to look in my next time we talk. I'll dig up my journal.
And one oddball question: back around 1991 or so, did one of your band members marry a girl from Philadelphia? Because I've got a story behind that.
No, James was going out with a girl from Philly for a while. He didn't marry her. I don't know. Wait a minute, though. Pete married. Where was she? She's from, definitely from, she's from that area. I don't know the exact town. But you're right, he did, yeah.
I was working.
He's got daughters as well from her, Madeleine and Juliet.
Oh.
Like Marcella, where was she from? I'm not sure. Pete would have to tell you. But yes, from there, she was a model and they lived in France and... yeah, she was quite a famous model over there.
I asked that because I was working at a newspaper at the time and outside of Philadelphia, and there was a wedding announcement, and they had the picture, and the bride was like you said, a model, gorgeous. I'm like, whoa. And she attended private school in Swarthmore University. And then the guy, I'm like, how does a guy get a girl like that? And the guy had just said one paragraph. He's a member of Gene Loves Jezebel. And I was like, oh, okay. That explains.
Okay. I didn't know they got married over there. So there you go. I wasn't. I know they got married quickly just because they didn't like much of a fuss, you know. So they just decided. So they didn't invite anyone to the wedding, but they're just the mom and dads, and I think, you know.
We look forward to Gene Loves Jezebel making new memories here in Pittsburgh. Anything else is important, you think, for people to know that are coming out to the show?
Well, who knows, you know, in the current climate, because visas are so expensive. And they cost a fortune for brands to come to America these days. And with the way politics are over here now, who knows when we'll be back. So I'd come if I were you, because I don't know when we'll be back, basically.
That is a very good point. Very good. All right, Jay, well, we appreciate your time. Keep up the great work, and we'll see you April 10th at Jurgle's Rhythm Grill.
Oh, thanks so much, Scott. Look forward to seeing everyone. Come out, everybody. We're dying to see you. Want to dance.
Love it. Awesome. All right. Take care.
Okay. Thanks, Scott.
Here is Gene Loves Jezebel with Jealous.
Really wrong.